Twin Flames is a podcast created by best friends and twin flames, Chloe and Hillary, about personal development, shifting the perspective, and getting in touch with the best version of yourself. Chloe is a practicing eclectic witch, entrepreneur, and clairvoyant. Hillary is a mindfulness expert, happiness educator, and practicing therapist trainee. We combine our strengths and knowledge to bring you the best of what we've found has been helpful to us on our respective journeys. Okay, so for you guys listening, I'm going to warn you right now, if you haven't seen all of the first season of The Witcher and you're planning on watching it and you don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead maybe like 5 or 10 minutes or so into the podcast because I'm going to talk a little bit about The Witcher right now. So now is the time for you to skip ahead. Please do so. But,
oh, I'm sorry. This is such a side note. But real quick, there is a stand-up. Seth Meyers has a new stand-up out. It's hilarious. He's wonderful. Love him. And part of his stand-up, he has a button because he talks about politics and he says, I know people are kind of done hearing about this. So if you want to skip this section, hit the button that says skip politics. And you can just skip a segment of his stand-up.
That's brilliant.
It's so cool.
That's brilliant.
He's funny. Anyway, neither here nor there. Continue.
So, The Witcher. The reason I'm bringing this up is because it's kind of in line with our topic today. If you guys haven't watched The Witcher, please fucking do. It's, even if you haven't played the video game or read the books, the series, it's like 6 or 7 episodes, I think. I think it's relatively short. Amazing series. I don't know everything about the storyline from the game or books, but like, so like basically what I'm saying is going in with nothing, you would still enjoy it. But there's one character in the show, Yennefer, and Yennefer is, I want to say, portrayed as having like deformities, I guess. Would that be the appropriate term, Hillary?
Well, that gets
right.
Tricky.
I don't want to say it wrong. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to like be
Are we talking about some kind of physical difference?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's how I talk about it.
Okay.
But most often it would probably be termed a deformity. I just hate the word.
Okay. Yeah, I do. It sounds so.
It sounds like, ew, something's wrong with
especially
you.
Especially as somebody myself with a deformity, technically, like my knee is. I have like a weird knee.
See, even
like,
hearing that.
Yeah, I agree. It felt very.
Even hearing that, so I was like, blunt. Ooh. Like, you don't have a deformity.
Right?
You have a difference. Like,
but like, she has like basically just, I guess, to the normal human eye, quote unquote normal, huge quotes on normal. It's a little bit different from that. And a huge part of this series is, not all of it, but a huge part of the series is actually her wanting to be beautiful so badly, or what she perceives as being beautiful. And it is for a reason, which I won't go into that. It is for a reason. And she's had like a really hard life because of it. And she actually ends up like going to a sorcerer and going through like excruciating pain to have it changed. And to me, I just felt like this was such like a, it was a really like, it's fascinating story. The whole thing is a fascinating story, but it really brought it to my attention because today we're talking about intrinsic and extrinsic values. And for her,
yes,
I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to spoil too much, but for her, there was very much extrinsic value attached to this, not just from a looks-based thing, but she also felt that she needed this level of acceptance to gain a certain job that she was going after. And the scene is like so good and powerful, but also brutal. It's a really good show, though. And her character is, I think she's a Scorpio for sure. She is like tough and like in the best way possible, though I mean that.
Well, thanks.
To my best Scorpio friend.
I'm gonna take that as a compliment.
Also, I'd like to say that I feel like I attract a lot of Scorpios into my life, and I mean, you guys are my opposite because I'm a Taurus, and
I like it.
Like, even like past friends, I've had a lot of Scorpios. Trevor Gonthier, He is a Scorpio. Really? His birthday's November 16th. Aww. Trevor, I don't think you listen to the podcast, but what up if you do?
That's like 3 days away from mine. How did I never
know
that?
How do I remember his birthday? I don't know.
I mean, some birthdays just stick in our head.
He has a Scorpio.
Hey, Scorpio friends.
My mother-in-law's a Scorpio. I feel like I attract a lot of Scorpio energy.
God, but that quick reference just took me right back to elementary school for a sec. Like, for a minute there, we were walking in line at school, just heading to wherever we were going.
Yeah, this is...
Do you remember how they used to make us wave?
No, I don't remember.
I do. For some reason, waving at people was, like, disruptive when you were in line, which makes no sense to me. And so they would make us wave with just a finger.
I don't remember that. That's so funny.
And I just remember being in line and you'd see someone and you'd be like, oh, and like wave with your finger.
Man, aside from meeting you, Hillary, this is about to take a dark turn. I feel like the only memories I have of elementary school are like sad or embarrassing. Like,
no, elementary school was pretty terrible.
Like, I remember calling our kindergarten teacher mom once and the whole class just laughing because I like it was just an accident. But it is stuck in my mind forever.
Well, and our kindergarten teacher was such a mom.
Oh, she was such a mom.
I would call her mom.
She was also my third grade teacher. Did you have her twice, too?
Okay.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah! I think we split in second grade. No, first and second we didn't have together, right? And then the rest, I think we were.
I had Mrs. Keen in first grade.
Nope, I had
Mrs.
Garcia.
I had Mrs. Garcia in second grade.
I was going to say...
Hillary, I love you so much. Oh, I was going to say, never mind. I knew exactly what she was going to say, but we'll keep that one to ourselves.
So many things coming up right now.
We didn't know we were going to get blasted from the past with this.
No, I had no idea, but here we are.
because we came back together for third grade and then fourth grade and then fifth grade. And then in middle school and high school, we had like no classes together at all.
That was
weird. I don't think we ever took a class together in high school or middle school, ever. Not once.
No, we didn't. And it was
fucking weird. That is weird. Like, not even an elective.
No, it was really odd.
That's so weird. I never really thought about it, but not once. I mean, in high school,
but still maintained the friendship.
I feel like in high school, it made a little more sense because you were in more AP stuff. I was not. And I feel like that definitely made a difference. Like...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But middle school are our lost years.
Yeah, those really are the lost years, though.
Like, damn. But came right back together in high school.
Without the classes, we did hang out in high school. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
I don't know either, but I'm really glad it did. Yeah.
Well, no, because even in middle school, we were still friends. Like, remember, we would...
Oh, we totally were.
We lunch together a lot in middle school, actually.
That's true.
I actually feel like high school is really where we, like... petered
That's
out.
That's true. You're right. Oh, in high school.
High school
was a
mess. You know what? Fuck school.
It was all terrible. Like, it was really... I did not enjoy most of that time. Elementary through high school.
No.
Just like... It was
you
bad.
You know what that is not, Hillary? It's not it.
No.
It is normally a good thing in this case, but it is not it.
It's true. It is not it. That's a lot of it's in one sentence. Also, have you seen It?
No. Did you? Was it
yes,
scary?
Yes, it's really good. It is really good. It is also scary.
Okay, but
I'm
like...
I'm just really enjoying saying
It
so much.
On a scale from like scary movie to like Hereditary, how scary was It?
Oh.
Have you seen Scary Movie? Those are like not scary.
Scary Movie is
That's
not
what I'm
scary.
Saying. On a scale of Scary Movie to Hereditary... How scary was it?
That's a really good question.
Like, do you think it was as scary as Hereditary? Because if it was, I definitely could not watch it.
It's... No, I wouldn't say that. If Hereditary is a 10, I'd say it's somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
I probably could watch it then. To me, Hereditary, like...
It's really
Hereditary
good.
Crossed a line. Like, I could not. I don't know if we've ever talked about that on the podcast, but like...
Was it the gore, the creepiness, or the
psychological
aspect?
It was the psychological aspect that really, like, messed with me.
Okay. So if that's what really got you, like on the level of gore, it is nowhere near Hereditary, which is great. On the level of like the psychologically fucked upness of it, it was written by Stephen King,
Stephen King movies
so
though. Like I've seen Pet
I mean they're really
Sematary.
good.
I've seen Was Pet Sematary the only one I've seen? I think no, I think I've seen isn't Roxanne a movie as well?
I
I'm
have
pretty
no
sure I've seen
clue.
Roxanne as well, or like
I'm
some
not the person to
rendition. I've seen a
ask.
few keys. I know I've seen more than one Stephen King movie.
Well, have you seen Stranger
Yes, I love
Things?
Stranger Things.
Okay, it has a Stranger Things
Oh, okay.
vibe. Like, if you like Stranger
Oh
Things,
my
you
God, I
probably like
love
it.
Stranger
Just prepare
Things.
yourself. Like, I would suggest watching it not when it's super late and having a blanket or something cozy or cuddly or, like, a husband to. A, as if you have multiples,
I feel like honestly,
the
not a
husband.
lot in scary movies really scares me that much anymore. Like,
Oh, that's good.
but
You'll be fine
I don't
then.
know what it was about Hereditary. Like, I do think it was partially the psychological horror of it, but also, like, I don't know, man. I had like a panic attack mid-movie with that. I couldn't finish it. My husband watched the rest
It was
by
intense.
himself, and to this day is like, oh, I just want to watch it again, but like with somebody who appreciates it. And like, nobody, even people that we know aside from you, Hillary, nobody that we know that like loves scary movies will A, watch it or also hasn't finished it because they said it was too scary for them.
Really? See, I am not a scary movie fan. However, my boyfriend's gotten me into scary movies, and I don't hate them. But I like the psychological aspect. Like when things get really fucked up and weird psychologically, I'm like, ooh,
You know what game you
interesting.
should
Let's look
play?
at
You should
that.
play the Alice Madness Returns if you haven't. It's available on
Interesting.
Steam and it's available on PlayStation. And it's an
Interesting.
asymmetrical horror. I think it's asymmetrical is the word I'm looking for. It's like a, or excuse me, psychological horror. But it's not like jump scares. It's not that kind of scary.
Okay,
It's
cool.
very, like, it's actually a really, like, pretty game. And
See, I don't like the stuff that shocks my
yeah,
nervous
no, it's
system so
not like
much
that
as
at
I
all.
like the stuff that makes me think and be like,
This
what
one is more about
happened?
like unwinding Alice's mind because like traumatic stuff
Oh, I'm
has
into
happened to
it.
her and she's trying to figure
Oh,
it
I am
out. But like
into
each little
it.
segment that you go through is part of like the Alice in Wonderland story. And so like you're jumping around collecting things. Like it's a very beautifully put together game. It's a masterpiece in my opinion. I've played it a few times. There's a part
Ooh.
one, but I don't think part one is as aesthetically pleasing. And this, you don't have to play the first game to play the second one.
I was just gonna go.
I know, it's been like almost
We've jumped
15
down
minutes.
five
It's fine.
rabbit
We're petting all the
holes.
bunnies.
We have pet
Literally, the
70
Mad
bunnies.
Hatter and like the little bunny. What's the, is it
Yay!
just the rabbit? The white rabbit.
Also, before we climb out of this rabbit hole real fast, have you seen Sucker Punch? Is that the one? Has that kind of Alice in Wonderland feel sort of thing? Like what you talked about reminded me of it, where there's
I
like, I
have
don't know.
seen
It's
Sucker
really.
Punch. I know exactly what
I
you're
don't
talking about. It's
think.
not, well, there is one level where that's very steampunky that kind of is like that. But
It just get
yeah, actually,
like.
it is a lot like that.
I feel like that movie did not get very high ratings, but psychologically,
I
whoa.
really didn't like that movie that much.
See,
I
everyone
didn't
says that,
hate
and
it, but
what
it
I
just wasn't
really
like my favorite.
liked, I liked that it bounces in and out of like the psyche in
Yes.
a way. You know, that I find that
That's kind of how
fascinating, where
this
it's
game
like,
is.
oh, this is the perception of being in this world, but here's what's really
That's
happening, and like,
exactly how this
that's
game is. Like, you
fascinating.
go into her
See,
mind and
love
into the
it.
fantasy world, but then you'll come back out into the real world and see what's going on. It's a very cool game. You can
Oh.
probably get it super cheap at this point because it's older. So, you're
Thank
welcome.
you. I
I don't, can't
love
believe I've
this.
never mentioned this to you. I feel like this is a game that would totally be right up your alley.
I'm so excited. Psychologically fucked up shit is fascinating to me. Like, it's such a
Also, if you
problem.
haven't played Alice Madness Returns, it's a great game. I think I've beat it 3 or 4 times now. Beautiful game. Beautiful, like,
Wow.
gorgeous graphics.
Okay, we need to stop petting the bunnies and actually like to...
Sorry, our banter ran long today.
Just got so excited.
So we're talking today about extrinsic and intrinsic value. So I'm going to go ahead and define those for you. So if you've never heard the terms, an extrinsic value, and I'm reading this off of a prompt, it's value assigned by external factors, also known as utilitarian value. And it's also placing a monetary value on natural systems based on what we can get out of them or get from them. And then an intrinsic value is something that you can't place monetary value on, but it has its own inherent worth. It can be moral, ethical, emotional, or spiritual value. Mm-hmm. And that's all that this says, because the rest is a question.
Yeah. So And I'll probably talk a little bit more about this, but there's a documentary called Happy.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Which is so good.
I haven't watched it, but I know it's on Netflix.
Oh, you have to see it. It's so good. It's so good. Everyone has to see it. Put that in your homework. It's so good. Now, mind you, this is also a recommendation coming from someone who studied happiness in her bachelor's.
So, does it say you're a happiness expert?
It might.
Something like that in our intro. I want to say so.
Oh, happiness educator, probably, because the word expert feels so, like, ego dystonic to me. It's like, is that
right?
I don't know. Is it?
Oh, my gosh. Call back to our imposter syndrome episode.
Right? Check that out if that resonated with you. But in Happy, such a good documentary. In Happy, there's a part where they talk about intrinsic and extrinsic values. And the examples they give, I think, are so helpful. So the examples of something that's extrinsic are things like status, image, money, that kind of stuff. All quantifiable, relatively speaking, and all external. The intrinsic values, the examples they gave were things like personal development, community feeling, like care for the environment, stuff like that, that's less quantifiable, and again is more internally located rather than externally validated, if that makes sense.
Well, and I feel like this also bumps up against the hedonic treadmill.
Yes.
I feel like we really, especially with extrinsic value, you know, this really bumps into that, because a lot of times if we put too much worth on things that are outside of us, we'll get that thing. It'll be great for a minute. And then it's like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? So finding something that is intrinsic is so much better in the long term, because it's something you can't put monetary value on.
Yes. Oh, it's so true. Okay, so this reminds me of a study that I saw when I was researching my thesis. Okay, so let me break it down. Our country, if you're listening in the U.S., because that's really what I can speak to, because that's what I've seen the research on. Now, this may be the same other places around the world. It may be different. I don't know. I haven't looked at the research. But research on the U.S. shows a couple things. Number one, we are historically and currently extremely oriented toward extrinsic values at the expense of intrinsic values. And I saw a study, which I think, like, I felt this internally, like I knew this, but to see it in writing was like, oh, it's real. Our focus as a country on extrinsic values has only been increasing over time, drastically, by the way. I could totally see
that. Well, here's something interesting, Hillary, to stick my astrology dick right in the middle of this. Here's something.
Everywhere. Stick it in.
My favorite words.
This is not a podcast for children and young
people. We always
do
put that it's explicit.
Yes.
But something to know about astrology is if you look at Saturn and how it actually orbits us, it takes like something like 3 years or so, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, somewhere in there, to actually orbit and move into the next astrological sign. So when we have time chunks of where Saturn is somewhere, it takes quite a while for it to move into the next. And something that has been very, very, very cranked up to 11 is this extrinsic value, these like lavish items, you know, designer bags, showing off what you have. There's not as much authenticity that is being poured out. And I'm talking about like big time celebrities, influencers, like what are they projecting to the collective? And right now, until the end of this year, we have Saturn in Capricorn, and it's been in Capricorn. Capricorn is all about the monetary value and what you can gain from working really hard. And we're actually, I have goosebumps talking about this. I love it. At the end of 2020, we will actually be moving into Saturn in Aquarius, which we're already seeing these shifts happen, but we'll be moving into this place of authenticity, like more communities that have a platform or even celebrities. You're going to see people on a grand scale start to actually be more authentic and less about the monetary value. So I actually think we will see a lot of change. I mean, we're also in the age of Aquarius. Good. So the more planets in Aquarius we can get right now is a really beautiful thing.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Sorry. I'm just saying. Really fantastic. In fact, if you guys want more information on this, I will link a video down below. I did not produce it, but it is from Stargirl the Practical Witch. Amazing. She's a fantastic astrologer. So I will link that below for you guys.
Lovely. But it's so true. I mean, like... the feelings, the thoughts.
And it's sorry, I have one more thing to add to that. I'm sorry.
Oh, please.
It's really cool because in her video, if you decide to watch it, she actually talks about like the historical trends of like in history where Capricorn was in Saturn, like the last time and the time before that, and how it's similar to right now, and then what it looks like in Aquarius season and like how it's changed, like past times that it's been also. And so it just there's so much validity in astrology. It makes me insane and so happy.
I would love to cross-reference that kind of stuff with a historical perspective based in history, then anthropology, and then sociology. Like if you could, and then add in psychology to see the repercussions. If you could cross-reference all of these fields, like sometimes, okay, quick rabbit hole. Sometimes it gets on my nerves that we split up studies and areas of discipline into these separate things. I'm like, what if we actually, because you, okay.
we're steaming up Hillary right now.
This, like, it really gets to me. Because I'm like, well, we have to have a focused area of study so that we become specialists in that area, but then it's to the expense of any other area. So then all psychologists are looking at psychology journals, all sociologists are looking at sociology journals, all historians are looking at historical books, like, and we're not talking to each other, right? And seeing where the overlaps are and how these things integrate and merge together and work.
This reminds me so much of the Divergent series. Where, yes, like, she's the one who's divergent and, like, has all of it. And, like, she's, like, the greatest one. Yes. And everybody else is split into a faction. And they're all, like, just doing different parts of the human experience.
Is it bad / arrogant to say that I feel like that character, that divergent one who's, like, it's everything?
Right?
Like, I don't want to be split into all these areas. I want to look at all of it.
And drawing back to astrology also, because you said like you want it linked up with history, that's probably the number one thing that astrology does get linked to. I would like to link it to more. I agree with you 100%. But there have been even studies done where right now Saturn is actually coming conjunct with Pluto, which happens once every like 20 or 30 years. Like, it doesn't happen frequently. But the last time this happened, it had a lot to do with like the Cold War, and like the day that it came conjunct, I want to say the Cold War actually ended. And so like it's like a huge thing for endings and beginnings.
See, and I feel like if we had more of an interdisciplinary focus and value, we could see these things more
Right?
readily. Just
Get you a
saying,
pocket
don't box
astrologer,
yourselves
I'm just
in.
saying.
Yeah. Anyway,
Anyway.
small rant. It's
It's
fine.
fine.
So yeah, actually, refocusing. So the first time that I heard about intrinsic and extrinsic values was that documentary, Happy. And I'm not even gonna try and downplay it. I've seen Happy at least probably 16 times. Like, I've watched it so many times, it's ridiculous. Because it's just that good. And I'm just that obsessed.
Yes.
So, but the main takeaway that I learned from Happy was that extrinsic values are in no way tied to happiness.
That's right.
That's what the research shows. Like, this isn't an opinion, this is research. Now, just to qualify it a little bit, what is tied to happiness or increases in happiness is so you notice, like, one thing that's an extrinsic value is money,
Totally.
right? Well, to a point, yes, money does buy happiness. However, money buys happiness to the point that you have the capability of having shelter and food and that kind of, like, survival safety.
Exactly.
Anything beyond what it takes to pay your rent, pay for food, and just keep you physically safe, anything beyond that, the research is very, 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 very clear. It will not make you happier. Period. End of story.
That's right.
So if you have a house and you have the capability to buy food, and then you think, well, maybe if I get another house, I'll be happier. Well, maybe if I get that Porsche, I'll be happier. Well, maybe if I get a yacht, I'll be happier. Sorry to burst your bubble, but you
You
really
really
won't.
won't.
In fact, without getting too specific, I heard there is a person I know who knows some people who are quite famous. And I was listening to this person talk about how the people that they know, they're deeply unhappy. They have huge houses and such fame that people are working toward every single day. They have these things and they are profoundly unhappy. They don't have friends that they can trust.
Oof.
They don't feel like they have any value beyond what they have done already. Like, there's all of these other things that enter into it. And so it really, sometimes we're pushing and pushing and pushing to meet this status or to look a certain way or to have certain things or to have all the money or
Yeah.
whatever it may be. But when you get there, it's not going to make you
No.
happier. Like, if that's what you're going for, honestly, I'd stop and reevaluate right
I
now.
agree. And
Because I have found no
you're
evidence,
not wrong.
none, that status, image, and monetary wealth make
Yeah.
people happier. The research doesn't support it. Anecdotes don't support it. My personal experience doesn't support it. It's just not true.
Well, and like, even in my own personal life, without getting too specific as well, like, I've seen that firsthand. Like, what that looks like. Even on like a familial level, like I've seen what that looks like to think that monetary gain will bring you such happiness, and then seeing these people around me just so unhappy. And I think
Yeah,
even myself
exactly.
to a degree, like I could give a few examples, but I'll wait until we get to me for that.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think that one thing that I'm always pushing and advocating for, and Chloe, I think you're probably the same on this, is to let go of some of that stuff
Yeah.
and refocus on the intrinsic. I can tell you without a doubt from my own experience. Here's a good example. I think it's easiest to explain in examples. So I've been in school for like damn near my whole life.
The forever
Like,
student, I
the
love
exception of
it.
1 year, like it's been a while. So I used to write papers like this. I would say, okay, what does the teacher want me to write? How can I write what I think they want me to say so that I can get the A? That's how I used to do it. And the amount of stress that I had around every single paper, it was intense. And at the end, I'd get this, sure, I'd get an A or maybe even a B sometimes, which is not bad. I know that. But it's like, quick reference, the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, really lovely. There's a song in there. It's like I could if I wanted to. And one of the lines is, an A. What's an A? Just a letter on the page meant to distract us from the pain. Ooh. I was like, oh, damn. Like, and that's basically what it was. I'd get the grade and I'd be like, cool. And then immediately all of that would leave me. Like, I didn't. You get it. You have that neurofeedback of I did the thing and then it's done. And I felt just as empty as I ever did.
Dang.
With every single paper. And then, thanks to a dad who taught English, he told me, don't write what you think they want you to write. Write what you think.
I love that.
And I was like, oh, wow, I can do that? So I tried it. And you know me, Chloe. I'm like, let's do an experiment. So I picked a paper and I said, I'm just going to do an experiment. I'm just going to write what I think. And that's it. I'm not going to try and figure out what they want me to say. I'm just going to write what I think and I'm going to turn it in. And I got such positive feedback and I enjoyed the process more. And I'm not kidding. Every single time I write a paper, I'll look at the guidelines and see what they're expecting me to include. Yeah. But I write what I think. And there have been times where I have written something in the paper that was not in the prompt. This was not something I was meant to address, but I put it in there because I thought, you know what? This is my actual thought. This is how I feel. I'm going to include it. And the feedback is so positive.
I love that.
Now, once again, I get the grade and, you know, it's a momentary joy and then it falls away. But it's different now because I've enjoyed the process. I've grown and learned through the writing of the paper. So on the other side, it's not the grade so much as it's like, wow, I really got something out of that. That, to me, is a clear difference between extrinsic and intrinsic values and focus.
Yes.
And so it can be in anything. I think, in my experience, when I have been the most in pain and feeling the most empty and worthless in my life, oftentimes, it's because I'm focusing on extrinsic values.
Same.
What do they think of me out there? Do I have the things I'm supposed to have? Am I at the place I'm supposed to be in my life? All of that is about what other people say, think, and believe.
You're not
wrong.
It
has nothing to do with me. And shifting that, I cannot tell you how much happier I am in life. Oh my God, it's so different. You go, Glen Coco. Four for you, Glen Coco.
Have you seen Legally Blonde 2?
Oh, once
that's
upon a time, I did.
That's where I get the snaps. They have the snap cup snaps for you.
That's true. They do.
Did you know they're making
that.
Part 3 to that movie? Like, and Reese Witherspoon's actually going to be in it. Yeah,
what?
I'm very excited. No news.
It's like 5,000 years later,
I mean,
intriguing.
I feel like a lot of throwbacks from that time period because all of us that watched it are adults and they're all trying to appeal to
us. It's true.
So.
It's true. Some of them work, some of them don't. Yeah. I could give examples, but let's not. So anyway, all of that to say, like, the research is clear. And honestly, my experience falls in line with the research. Every story I've ever heard from people falls in line with the research. And I encourage you all, like, think of your own experiences and what other people have said to you. And just notice, like, what does it fall into? And we'll talk about that more later. But really getting a handle on, like, what are my values in life? And I had to do that and see, like, where am I? What am I? Who am I living my life for is really what it comes down to. Because in my experience, when I was focused on extrinsic values, I was not living my life for me. I was living it for everybody
else. You're absolutely
right. Once I shifted, now I live for me. And that is huge.
That is huge.
So, we're going to hear a little more from Chloe and her experience after a quick word from our sponsors.
So as if I haven't referenced this to death, but it just always applies, okay? It was a huge learning experience. I think probably the biggest thing for me that I can speak on is, you guessed it, the great burnout of 2018. I call it the great burnout. If you're new to the podcast, this might not be a familiar reference for you. I call it the great burnout of 2018 because I had been burnt out for probably almost 2 years, and it had just finally mm-hmm. caught up to me. It took that long. And I think for me, what happened, let me address where this is even coming from. If you didn't know, I have a gaming channel that I run. It's mm-hmm. mildly successful. I don't know. Mildly successful, and
I think it's successful.
Mildly successful.
Ooh, also, in line with our topic, and also just to, like, throw a wrench in the works, I'm so sorry. What is successful anyway? How do we define success? Wrong. Just throwing that out there. I just jump into fuck shit honestly, up, and then I dip out. I just
don't know how to word that part of my career without, like, coming across as bragging. So...
Oh, the best thing we had need to have a conversation about humbleness and bragging. Man. I know.
Okay, let me just put a number on it. The channel has like almost 200,000 followers. Okay, like it's pretty big in terms of successful. Like how YouTube is. Yeah, fine, Hillary, it's successful. Is that what you want to hear? Do you want me to say that it's successful?
I'm just gonna keep whispering it the whole time. YouTube channel.
So. With this successful YouTube channel, it like when I first started, it was never this goal. And I started it back in 2013. It was never a goal to make money. It was never a goal for it to be my job. It was like I was actually very highly depressed at the time. I was unemployed and I fell down a rabbit hole of watching other people do this on YouTube, like film their gaming content with commentary. And I just, something hit me and I was like, man, I could do this. Like, this looks so fun. I want to do this. I want to have like a community that like loves what I love. And I think I was just looking for connection, if I'm honest, which is like really cute, you know? Yeah. I was just looking for connection. And so I made this YouTube channel and within the first 8 months, it blew up. And I had a strong community. I did not have to ever go look for another job after that. Like, I just, this was now my job. And I loved it. The content I was creating was very authentic. It was what I liked producing. It had nothing to do with anybody else. Like, yes, I wanted connection, but I was making content that I just liked the idea or the concept or the storyline for. And then I feel like what really happened is I got invited to my first event because of this channel. And in the event, I met all these other creatives that do what I was doing in the same field with the same game. And I felt like they all had so much that they did. Like, they were working nonstop on their videos, editing them for hours at a time. Face cam was involved, better computers, better gear, better, like, just, I think I just saw like, oh my God, I'm not doing enough. And so I came home and I picked up the pace hard. I came home from that trip and I was very motivated and inspired, but I like started streaming a bunch of times per week, which I previously wasn't streaming. And then I started working really hard on my videos to make them better. Now, let me say, there's nothing wrong with wanting to better what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with growing. There's nothing wrong with progress. But I was trying Agreed. To make my channel like something that you need a team of people to create overnight. And I did this for months and months and months. And I started asking myself, how can I get more views? What videos are going to be better for the viewer? And it became more about everyone else versus my creative wants. And this went on for a very long time. And my channel eventually, I feel like the universe done bitch slapped me. Because eventually what happened is every single outlet became exhausted. When I wouldn't give up on it and I kept pushing myself and driving myself into the ground, the universe like started to like decline my viewers. And then from there, my income rapidly took a dive. And mind you, this was like more than half of my family's income at the time that we relied really heavily on. And so I was then I'm just devastated. And the burnout sets in. Then I start telling myself, oh, my God, I'm not good enough. The problem is with me. I can't make it work. I can't be like these other creators. I can't produce content that's good enough. Everybody in this community must hate me. Like, all these lies that I was telling myself until I literally made an announcement on my channel that I was taking an indefinite hiatus because I couldn't handle the pressure that I was putting on myself. But I couldn't do it. And it all started because I stopped being true to myself and started putting value on everything that was beyond me instead of staying true to my own heart and what I liked doing.
And then the universe mirrored your depleted energy. So real.
And I've spent like the better part of almost a year picking up the pieces, learning more about myself, learning about intrinsic and extrinsic value, learning how to like prioritize my needs, prioritize my own creativity. And honestly, it's been such a good thing. Like, so many beautiful passion projects have come out of it with the downtime that I've had. And I feel like now, as I'm coming back and making content again in multiple places, I'm not doing as much. I was actually just talking to Hillary about this today. I'm not doing as much as I was previously. I used to, when I was in like the thick of almost burning out, I had 13 different projects that I was a part of and either was running by myself or running with like one other person. And now I'm at a point where I only prioritize 4 projects. All of them I'm doing not the bare minimum, but not the maximum. And I have so much more time for myself to rejuvenate, replenish, and like work on those intrinsic things. And I feel like even though my career still hasn't quite re-blossomed where I would like to be, I'm in a much better mental state of mind. And that to me is more valuable than anything I could receive from anywhere else, because I know what it feels like to feel literally just dead on the inside for months at a time.
Yeah.
So totally. I would take this over that tenfold.
Yes. It's so interesting too. Because one thing that was coming up for me, I took a class, I've probably talked about it before, called Norms, Liberation, and Danger. Amazing class. And in it, we talked about, we called it the difference between big P productivity and little P productivity. And what we were talking about is that big P productivity is basically what our culture and our society values and assigns as being productive, which are things that are, generally speaking, quantifiable, which is also, generally speaking, extrinsic. Yes. So the things that we consider to be productive, they fall into a very specific realm, whereas the things that we don't consider to be productive might still be productive. Like, for instance, self-care, I think, is productive.
So productive.
Because how can you do anything else if you don't take care of yourself?
Exactly.
You know, engaging in art, I think, is very productive. You know, you're being creative, utilizing that aspect of your humanity, and you're making something. Like, and those things, just as quick examples, those are not considered productive in our society.
That's right.
So it's this difference between, like, what are we told is of value and productive, and what actually is of value and productive. Being able to shift that and say, okay, well, you know, maybe our society says that the only thing of value is to work myself to death, but really what I find valuable is something else so that I can do the work that is important to me. And I think it's really interesting. Both of us, Chloe, gave examples of things that really prove that it's not the action that is intrinsic or extrinsic. It's not the thing that you do. It's the intent behind it and the value as a foundation. You can be doing the same thing and it can be intrinsic or extrinsic depending on how you're looking at it. I have so many feelings.
Thoughts and feelings, Hillary.
But it's hard. I think it's especially hard how we're brought up in this culture.
My God. I mean, even speaking for myself, I'm going to out my dad here right now. My father is the most hardworking man I have ever met in my life. He will literally work himself into the grave. He is my, like, to me, what I used to, sorry, father, I still look up to you, but is somebody that I used to look up to, that work ethic, and be like, oh my God, that's like who I want to be. If I'm not running and gunning all the time, like, I'm not doing enough. And that's just my dad. My dad is also, even though he's a Taurus man, he also is extremely Aries in his chart. He has so much get up and go energy. It's ridiculous. But that aside, he, like, that's just him. That's what he was brought up in to do as well. And I think for me, that was what I thought I had to be, because that was the example that I had of entrepreneurship. I thought I had to be working 18-hour days to make a living. And in reality, like I said, I feel like you just turning yourself into an early grave. So, like, don't get me wrong. It's great to have strong work ethic, but, like, you know, of course, take care of yourself. Shit. Dad, I'm talking to you. And I don't think you listen, but if you did, take care of yourself. God.
Seriously. And it also brings up this question of, I noticed this, and I think it's different for everyone, but I would say, generally speaking, as a whole, in our society, we tend to place more value on what you do than who you are.
Oh, yeah.
Are.
And we've talked about how, like, even when you ask somebody, oh, what do? People will instantly insert their job instead of, like, oh, well, you know, on the weekends or during the week, I really like to get outside and paint nature. And I like to, like, you know, nobody's like.
And it's the first thing we ask people,
what
too.
What do you do?
As if what we do is our identity.
And it's not.
No, it's not. And I think, and, you know, that also plays into when we have such long work weeks and you work 40 to 70 hours a week, you probably do feel like what you do is your identity, but you are more than that. And that's a whole other thing. But still, it's this, like, I can think of countless examples where we as people tend to feel like, if I do not do X, Y, and Z, I have no value.
That's right. Oh, you know? Hillary,
I lived my life like that before.
All the time.
I feel you.
Even to this day, I
fall
into
that trap.
I
did it so long. I fall into it here and there too. But, and it took a lot of, for me, a lot of intense personal work and therapy and everything, because I'm not even kidding. I used to go, I once counted in my undergrad, I would spend 17 hours a day just doing.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, like, 17 hours straight. And it was pretty consistent. Sometimes it would be cut down to 12 hours a day, but
still. I
think
my husband keeps me humble. Like, if he wasn't there complaining, like, in a good way, complaining, like, Chloe, I miss you. You need to take a break. Like, I probably would never stop.
Yeah. And I used to, like, I worked myself sick consistently, and I would continue to work while I was sick consistently.
Me too. I do that.
And it was just like, for me, I realized the reason I was doing that is because, unconsciously or consciously, whatever it may be, I thought my value came from what I could do. How hard I could work, how much I could push, and all of the things that would become a result of that. The value that I put on myself was that I was of value to other people based on what I could do. And that's not true. Because I stopped doing all of those things. And I still have people in my life who love me. In fact, I would say I have more people in my life who love me and see me for who I am. That. I feel better on the whole as a person, and I know that my value is not in what I do, it's in who I am. That's a huge difference between intrinsic and extrinsic.
That's right.
And I think for me, that was the goal. And it's still a work in progress. I mean, there are days where I'm like, oh, I haven't done enough. And I have to walk that back and be like, okay, well, hang on. Let's really look at that. What is that?
Sometimes just getting out of bed in the morning is enough. And that's the truth.
Absolutely. 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 Just breathing can be enough. I am here. I am a person. That's okay. So it's tough. But I don't know. I think that's a big thing for me that I wanted to say. It's just like, who you are matters more than what you do.
That's right.
Every time. And also, if someone thinks that what you do matters than who you are, I don't know. I would urge you to just, like, take it with a grain of salt. Consider they might have their own things going on. Maybe they think that what they do is all that matters and who they are doesn't matter. It could just be a projection. Not only
that, but that is such an effective way to handle when people don't, like, respect your boundaries and such. Recognize, calling back to our boundaries episode, recognize that that has so much more to do with them than it does you. And I know that we say that all the time as a society, but, like, really walk yourself through it. Like, really walk yourself through their perspective if you can. And, like, you know, also ask yourself, does their opinion hold value to me? Do I agree with the way that they live their life? And even if, like, you can respect it and not agree with it, if you don't agree with it, why take advice or, like, information in from them and take it personally?
Yeah.
I have to ask myself that all the time.
Totally. I do this too. Absolutely. Like, here's a good example. When I had a job for a while that was not my favorite. And I have seen this on both sides, both me doing it and someone else doing it. And it's this concept of, like, someone has vacation days, they use their vacation days, and then other people who are working are pissed off that they get a vacation. Oof. Okay, well, let's really look at that. 9 times out of 10, in my experience, the person, and I've been this person, the person who is upset that the other person takes a vacation day, a personal day, a sick day, whatever it is, often is not taking theirs.
That's right.
Why do they get a vacation? I don't. Well, honey, you got vacation days. Use them. Like, maybe you wouldn't be so salty if you used your vacation.
Totally. Like,
and I've been that person. So it makes sense. It's just we got to catch ourselves on this.
Yeah.
You know, because we're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves and each other to be, not even to be something, to do something. So, yeah.
But that's all I had. Are we ready for homework?
I have so many feelings, but yeah, that's all I got too.
So our first point for homework is write down what you value the most. And on that list, see if you actually get satisfaction from those things or not. And that will help you identify what is extrinsic and what is intrinsic if you're unsure.
Yeah. And so, like, really look at your list with a gentle but critical eye. I want to say with compassion, you know? Like, look at it and be like, okay, these are the things that really matter to me. Good to know. Whatever those are, it's fine. It doesn't matter what they are as long as it's true that they matter to you. And yeah, like Chloe said, see what fills you up and also look at what's intrinsic and what's extrinsic.
Exactly.
You may or may not notice a correlation. Yes,
because we were even just saying that, like, some of it's intent-based. Like, sometimes it can be both. It just depends on the intention. So
absolutely.
But I think that's actually all we had for homework. And, you know, if you want to watch that Stargirl, the Practical Witch video, it would be a really good one.
And happy also.
Yes.
If you are a person who has questions about happiness, watch Happy. It'll clear a lot
up. I think I've started it before but didn't finish it. That's a me problem. I need to go back and change that.
So good. It's so good. It's so good.
But I think that's what we got this week. So we hope you guys have a fantastic week.
Value who you are.
Go out there. Be your best authenticity warrior. You got this.
Yes.
And hell yes. We'll talk to you guys next Monday.
Yeah.
Bye.
If you love what you heard today, please come and follow us on our social media platforms. We are at Twin Flames Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. Use the hashtag AuthenticityWarrior to connect and share your authentic path with us. If you'd like to support us on our mission to spread authenticity to the collective, consider becoming a contributor on our main hub, Anchor. Anchor provides the ability to not only give back to this podcast, but you can also send in voice-recorded questions that we're able to insert and answer on the show. Link in the show notes below. Another way to support us is by leaving a review. It really helps us to be seen and recommended more. If you do decide to review us, no matter the rating, screenshot it and send it to our email for a free guided meditation created by Hillary, me. More information on that below. And lastly, have a question, comment, or a concern? Send us an email and we'll do our best to reach back to you. Have a fantastic week, and remember, when you stand tall in your authenticity, you give others the assurance to do the same. We'll talk to you next Monday.